This is Made in Montana News on the Treasure State Radio Network. I'm Jay Scott. Helena and East Helena Public Schools lost their levy votes on Tuesday. The Helena District proposed three levies for the May election, with two of them impacting the district as a whole and one impacting the elementary district. A technology levy that would have allowed the district to replace broken or outdated technology, like desktop computers, laptops, iPads, and projectors, received 6,400 votes against the levy, 4,500 in favor. The high school portion of the levy showed 6,562 against and 4,700 in favor. The levy would have also improved networking capabilities within the district for students and educators to consistently learn and teach. The second levy was a safety and security levy, with 6,600 against, 4,100 in favor. The early unofficial results reported that the high school district had 6,900 votes against, but only 4,300 in favor. The third levy, proposed by the Helena District, was a general fund levy that would have helped the district maintain its current programs by supplying the district with enough funds to close the gap on its elementary operating budget. That one failed as well, 5,800 against, 5,000 in favor. For East Helena, its voters struck down its general fund levy with 1,220 votes against, 922 votes in favor. Voters approved a property tax increase to support general operating costs at elementary schools in the Butte School District on Tuesday, but a costlier measure for Butte High ended in a tie. Kevin Patrick, business manager for the district, said he believes a tie is a not pass, meaning the measure failed, but indicated a recount might be possible. The unofficial count Tuesday was 3,782 votes on each side. Voters backed a $2.46 million levy request for elementary schools, 3,900 to 3,300. A key transfer of Colstrip shares, considered critical to extending the life of one of the West's largest coal-fired power plants, is no more. Colstrip Power Plant co-owner and operator Talen Energy has informed shareholders its agreement to acquire 370 megawatts of Colstrip generation from Puget Sound Energy has fallen through. The agreement would have made Talen Colstrip's largest shareholder at 592 megawatts and given it more voting power on major decisions like maintenance operations and whether to shut down the power plant. These options have been increasingly contentious as Puget and other Pacific Northwest utilities make plans to abandon coal power in order to comply with climate change laws in Washington and Oregon. A state law passed in 2021 and signed by Governor Greg Gianforte dictated arbitration terms and empowered Montana's Attorney General to order the repairs to the Colstrip plant and impose a $100,000-a-day fee for the noncompliant owners. A federal court ruled that law unconstitutional, and the state had to pay $825,000 in attorney's fees to the existing owners. An author accused of stealing items from the Montana Historical Society and then selling them online has reached a plea bargain agreement. Brian Anthony D'Ambrosio of Santa Fe, New Mexico, agreed to plead guilty to one felony count of theft of major artwork. The maximum penalty is 10 years, a $250,000 fine, up to 3 years of supervised release, and a $100 special assessment. That's according to documents filed in U.S. District Court in Helena. He has also agreed to complete restitution, according to the filing. His change of plea hearing will be June 3rd in front of U.S. District Judge Brian Morris in Great Falls. The judge has the option of rejecting or accepting the agreement. D'Ambrosio was accused of stealing letters by the wife of famed Western artist Charlie Russell and selling them online. He was also accused of stealing culturally significant items over 100 years old and worth more than $5,000 from the Montana Historical Society from April of 2022 to September of 2023. According to authorities, the FBI used an undercover agent to contact him as a would-be purchaser of the items, even though he claimed to be doing research for the Historical Society. A former Valley County Sheriff's deputy who was convicted of possession of child pornography and sexual intercourse without consent of a minor has had one of his convictions overturned and sent back to district court because of constitutional violations associated with his conviction. In a split 4-2 decision, the Montana Supreme Court says that because Luke Stroman was denied the right to cross-examine a witness face-to-face, that move violated his state and federal constitutional rights, and the case will go back to District Court Judge John Larson. The case focused on the sexual assault behavioral psychologist Dr. Sherry Vano and the prosecuting attorney's decision to request that she appear remotely via two-way video conferencing. When the case was originally planned, Vano's testimony would have been scheduled sometime during the winter, but because she was a practicing therapist in Denver meeting with sexual assault survivors, she had at least one group meet every week that could potentially have conflicted with the trial. Larson agreed to let her testify via video conferencing over the objections of Stroman's attorney. However, when the prosecutors called Vanio, she appeared via video conference from Massachusetts, not Denver. When asked about the appearance, she replied that the group sessions had been canceled due to COVID. The Supreme Court reversed the guilty verdict and remanded it for a new trial beginning April 30th. The effort to restore trout population in the Big Hole River after historic low numbers last spring along two sections of the river show increases from 2023, especially among brown trout. The population growth is encouraging, according to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Big Hole Rivers fishery biologist Jim Olson. But he said the brown trout and rainbow trout populations are still only about one-half to three-quarters of the long-term average in the Big Hole. Water supply forecasts, however, this year could spell trouble. The May water supply forecast, released this week by the Natural Resources Conservation Service, says snowpacks in the Jefferson River Basin are currently at 69%. They were 127% at this time last year, and only about 70% of recent precipitation for the valley. A resort in Montana has suddenly become part of the storyline in one of former President Donald Trump's federal trials, this one focusing on whether he took and hid classified documents. The federal trial, which included Special Prosecutor Jack Smith, is being overseen by Federal District Court Judge Eileen Cannon, a judge appointed by Trump during his presidency. However, reporting by the National Public Radio Network shows that Cannon traveled twice to luxury resorts in Prey, Montana, to attend conservative legal conferences, but failed to disclose the trips. Federal guidelines do not prohibit a sitting federal judge from taking luxury vacations, even those paid by another person, as long as they are disclosed and documented. The luxury lodge in Prey boasts a spa and locally sourced food from the area. It bills itself as, quote, the ultimate Montana luxury resort getaway, A search for accommodations on the website revealed its nightly rate between $819 and $5,436. Crews are beginning to clean up yards filled with lead and arsenic in Black Eagle. They're left over from decades of smelting and refining at the ACM smelter and refinery. That effort will likely run through at least next summer. For more than 80 years, beginning in 1893, companies smelted and refined various heavy metals, including copper, zinc, arsenic, and cadmium. Atlantic Richfield bought the site in 1977 and continued refining copper until 1980 when the plant closed. But the refinery put lead, arsenic, and other toxic metals into the air that contaminated soils nearby. An investigation found 45% of the 420 yards in Black Eagle had elevated lead and arsenic levels, sometimes several times above federal and state standards. Atlantic Richfield will bear the costs of the cleanup as the potentially responsible party. In sports, the University of Montana and former Lady Grizz basketball coach Shannon Schwayen have reached a settlement in which Schwayen will get $350,000 arising from the non-renewal of her employment contract. Back in October, a U.S. District Court judge ruled that UM did not discriminate against Schwayen when it opted not to renew her contract in 2020. Schwayen appealed the ruling to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The settlement was approved last month, according to state records. Schwayen, arguably the greatest player in Montana Lady Grizz history and a 24-year assistant under coaching legend Robin Selvick before she was hired as head coach in 2016, filed suit against the school in November of 21, saying it violated Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. She said her pay did not properly align with the men's coach, Travis DeCury. But after trial, the court sided with the school when it said not renewing Schwayen's contract was due to, quote, poor performance of the women's basketball team, the numerous and serious complaints regarding the unacceptable environment fostered by Schwayen for student-athletes on her team, and the intent of many of those student-athletes to leave the program if Schwayen remained as head coach. Quote, these are legitimate, non-discriminatory reasons for non-renewal of Schwayen's contract. She will, however, receive $350,000 from the school. If you need to hear this report again, please check our Treasure State Radio or KGRT-DB webpages. Made in Montana News is podcast worldwide, with listeners in now 53 U.S. states and Canadian provinces, 3 Native American nations, and 33 countries on 6 continents. We also post expanded versions of our stories on Facebook. Made in Montana News is heard on the Treasure State Radio Network, including KMEH 100.1 FM in Helena, Elkhorn Mountains Radio in Jefferson County, Homegrown Radio in Bozeman, King West Radio in Billings, Rescast Radio on the Fort Peck Reservation, PIVA Radio of the Northern Cheyenne Nation, and Crow Res Radio of the Crow Nation. That's Made in Montana News. I'm Jay Scott. This is the Treasure State Radio Network.